The following audio is from Sand Hills Community Church. More information about Sand Hills Community Church is available at www.sandhillschurch.org.
So does anyone know what today is on the church calendar? Does anyone know? It's Advent. Yeah, good job. And because we're such a liturgical church, we don't have any candles. But they would light a candle in a Methodist church or a Lutheran church or a Catholic church. And today would be called the first Sunday of Advent, the Advent of Hope. And so this morning, I hope to give you some hope. In the book of Isaiah that we read here was written 700 years before the first coming of Jesus. Many Jewish people today are still looking for a coming Messiah. Christians, we believe the first coming of the Messiah happened in the person of Jesus as God became human. We also believe in a second coming, that Jesus will come someday. These words of Isaiah were very, not only prophetic for the Messiah's entrance into the earth, to planet Earth, but also was a word for the people of that day, because there was much distress and much worry, much like today. Did you know that between Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve, there will be a lot of stress and a lot of worry? Now, kids don't seem to pay attention to it, but we adults, we seem to like get connected to stress quite easily. And whether it's family or in-laws or visiting in-laws, whatever it takes, there's a lot of worry. Now, I believe that this scripture today can help us have an antidote or a prescription for the problem that Isaiah was raising and the problem that Jesus is going to raise in the book of Matthew. And that problem is called worry. Now, I know that none of you worry here, okay? But I come from a world champion family of worry warts, okay? Has anyone come from a world champion of worriers? Could we say, have a group therapy moment? Okay. All right, everybody look around, okay? My mom was really the queen of worry. And if there was anything to worry about, she could find it, okay? And typically it tends to be something about the future, but you make it into the now. And so Jesus talks about worry in Matthew chapter 6. In fact, he spends more time on worry in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he spends more time on worry than any other human dilemma. And my sense is this: if Jesus is spending 12 verses this much time on one human ailment, this must be a pretty big deal to Jesus to talk about it. I mean, he talks about vows for a couple of verses. He talks about lust for a couple of verses and adultery for a couple of verses and pledges. But he spends 12 verses on worry. So this must be a huge thing for someone to talk about. So let's read his words together. So Jesus begins by saying this: no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or you'll love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and... Okay, now he's going to connect money and worry in a second. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for those fine words. Have you ever been worried and someone told you to not worry? Come on, let's see. Come on, just try again. Have you ever had someone tell you to not worry when you're worried? Can we see? Okay. It's like telling a kid, try to go to sleep when you can't sleep, right? Don't worry, Jesus says. Go on, don't worry. And then he starts to unpack it. Do not worry about your life. That's kind of vague. There's a lot to my life that goes on. Don't worry. Don't be preoccupied about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat. Spaghetti, lasagna, pizza, manicotti. Don't worry about what you will drink. Decaf. No. Caffeine. Don't worry about your body. Body image, too thin, too skinny, too fat, or what you will wear. I tried on 5 outfits last night. I was like a girl. I mean, it was ridiculous, you know, because my wife, she worries about what to wear, you know, church, because I know church people. Thank God we're Sand Hills, and we don't care. I mean, look at you. I mean, seriously, look at you. I mean, how long did it take you to come up with that? 3 minutes? And you'll pray for me. I get it. Is not life more than food? Is not life more than body? More than clothes? And the answer, a good counselor, Jesus being the wonderful counselor, the wonder of a counselor. We need a wonderful counselor. A good counselor asks questions. He just asked 5 questions here. And he says, is not it more important than what you wear? And the answer is, help me out here. The answer is, yeah, of course so. Next slide. Worry is defined by your devotion. What you are devoted to will tell me what you worry about. Directly linked, directly connected to your worry is what you are devoted to. Let me give you an example. How many of you are parents? Put your hands up. How many of you are parents and you have a kid in school? Croto, I don't care about your kid's grades. You know why? I'm not devoted to it. I will not lose sleep over David Croto's kid's grades. How many of you have a 401k? Okay? I do not lose any sleep over your 401k. You know why? I'm not devoted to it. How many of you are going to send your kids to college someday? Put your hands up. Or you think so. Or you want to. It's back to the grades, isn't it? See, that's what you're worried about. You see? How many are you going to send your kids off to school one day? Put your hands up. I don't care what school they go to. You're going to say, oh, pray for me. I want them to go to Harvard. I don't really care. You know why I don't care? I'm not devoted to it. But what I am devoted to is Rhonda and Rachel and Andrew and my job and my speaking, my writing and other things like that and cutting the grass and doing all. I'm worried about that because why? That's what I'm devoted to. So the question this morning is, what are you devoted to? And does your devotion need to change? Everybody say, hmm. Yeah, Sandhill's not good at amen, so we'll try that. Hmm. Hey, by the way, give me a Rhonda Olshine backhand to the person next to you. Ready? Go ahead. Rhonda Olshine backhand. There you go. Look, bro, you got to look at more excited than that. Come on. One more time. There you go. Good. There you go. Thank you. Very good. They're not even hitting each other's hands. They're just flapping. What you are worried about is connected to your devotion. So Jesus goes on to say this. Look up at the birds of the air. They're not stressed out. They don't sow or worry or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Jesus is doing a paradigm shift here. He's saying everyone's getting worked up about food and clothing and what to wear and what to eat, where are you going to sleep, because that's what the people were worried about. But Jesus says, whoa, let's change our altitude for a minute. Look at the birds. They don't sow or reap or store, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Here's a question, Counselor Jesus, are you not much more valuable than they? And the answer is, can any of you, here's another question, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And the answer is, can you lose hours and hours and hours of your life by worrying? Yes. Jesus is so smart, isn't he? And why do you worry about your clothing, Olshine? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Worry causes people to spin out of control. So I don't worry about your finances. So I don't worry about your kids' college endeavors. I'm concerned. I just don't lose sleep over it because I'm not devoted to it. Irma Bombeck, remember her? She says, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. So why do you worry about clothes, Jesus says? Why do you worry about that? Look at the flowers. Look at the birds. They do not labor nor spin. Now, in youth group that I used to run years and years and years, We always had a really dumb game. You would put a pole here, and you would hold it, and you would start to spin like that. So you know what I'm talking about? You start spinning, and then you start spinning more and more and more. And then the goal is to get faster and faster and faster and faster. And all of a sudden, what happens? You push them out, and you expect them to walk. So they look like drunk, you know, just struggling. That's what happens with worry. And that's what happens when you start with the problem of worry. You start with, oh, my finances. And you start with finances and you start worrying. And I don't know I'm going to have enough. And what if I lose my job? And you start spinning. And you start with worry and you end up with, help me out. You start with worry and you end up with worry. I'm worried about a relationship. And you start spinning and spinning. I'm concerned about this relationship. And you end up with. Worry causes us to spin out of control. What would happen, though, if you took Jesus' words next? Yet, I tell you that not even Solomon in all his Gucci, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? And the answer is, yes, he will. Because your heavenly Father, he's more concerned about us because we are created in the image of God. It's not that he doesn't love flowers. He does. You know, cute little birds. Okay, he made them. But Jesus' point is, you are so infinitely more significant as a human being created in the image of God. And because God created you, in the image of God, you have value. What are you spinning about at 2:30 in the morning, beside maybe your bladder? What is going on with your brain that's causing you to spin out of control? Jesus says this, don't worry. By the way, have you ever had someone tell you to not worry when you're at the height of your worry and it just doesn't help? But what if, for example, the person who's telling you not to worry knows something about your condition that you don't know about? It's like the dude who's watching a football game and he's DVR'd it and he doesn't know the outcome, but his friend next to him does. And they're both rooting for the same team. He keeps looking for his friend to see how the friend's going to react, to see if the friend's panicking and the friend's not panicking, which means that he knows the outcome. He knows that the team they're rooting for is going to win. So he's not worried. Could it be that Jesus knows your condition right now? Could it be that he knows what you're going through right now? And he knows why you're worrying. Not just what you're worrying about, but what is the bottom line? Why do you worry? What's going on? As the counselor Jesus, therapist Jesus, says, how much more will I take care of you? So do not worry, he says. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans, for those who don't know God, they run after all these things. And he says basically everybody on planet Earth runs after these things. Food and clothing and shelter, it's a basic human need. It's that peer of life. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Needs what? Food, shelter, clothing, all the necessities of life. But now the paradigm shift comes. What if you were to start with a new devotion today? What if your devotion was not worry? What if it was not your mom, your mother-in-law? What if it was not about your finances or your health or someone in your family's issues? What if you started with a whole new start today? What if you started not with your problem, but what if you started with the wonderful counselor? Jesus says it this way. But seek, help me out here, first his what? Kingdom. Not your kingdom, not my kingdom, but his kingdom. And then all these things, what things? Food, shelter, clothing, all the necessities, all these things will be given to you as well. What if you switched gears? What if you flipped the switch? What if this morning You started not with worry, but you started with worship. What if you started to buy into the idea this morning that worship reverses the worry? What if you really believed for a moment that I'm gonna seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and then all these things? What if I start not with worry, but I start with worship? Now, Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Why, Jesus? Because tomorrow will worry about itself. There's enough trouble in today to let it happen. There's enough problems today, right? Everybody say, right? There's enough problems today. Stop adding onto the list about tomorrow and the future. What if you were to today place your worry into the arms of the wonderful counselor? What if you started with the wonderful counselor, not your problem? Well, how do we beat anxiety? How do we beat it? How do we beat worry? You know, for some people, anxiety is a huge issue. Do you know that it's almost the number one prescribed medication today for young adults, teenagers, and adults is anxiety prescriptions? So maybe actually part of your process is, because let's say you have an anxiety disorder just out of control. Well, maybe for some of you, you start with a human therapist. You start with maybe a Christian therapist that helps you on the way to get you to the divine wonderful counselor. I don't think Jesus is talking about 1, 2, 3, snap, worry gone. I don't think he's talking about that. He's talking about a process. And this process begins by something very profound, and 1 Peter talks about it. He starts by saying this: God opposes the proud. Peter knew that because, well, Peter was pretty proud. And pride is a big problem with humans. God opposes, but he shows favor to the humble. Now, here's what we do. This is our role. Humble yourselves. That's our job. We humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. That's God's deal. It's when God wants to exalt you. Now, watch this. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he what? Cares for who? You. The you is you. The you is me. Now, any fishermen here? Do you have any people like to fish? Okay. So we tend to, at least for me when I fish, I tend to throw it out and reel it back in really fast, and throw it out and reel it in. Okay? So I want you to take your worry that you're thinking about right now. All right, everyone give me your hand. Ready? Pull your hand out. Ready? Ready to cast? Ready? You ready? Excuse me, ma'am. Pardon me. Ready? You ready? Are you here? Are you still here? Okay, ready? Ready, set, go. All right? You didn't let it go. See, I know half of you. Patrick, I know you didn't let it go. Ready? Here we go. Get your wife ready. Ready? Here we go. Let it go. Okay, that's the first step. Casting your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. Now, what does that look like? If you will take the word pride and you'll take the word anxiety, what is the middle letter? I. What's that mean? Ego. If I am to humble myself, I have to somehow get me, David Olshine, out of the way. It begins by humbling myself. First humble myself, then I cast my worries onto him, for he cares for you and me. Now, what would it look like if I were to start with El Shaddai, the God who provides? What would it look like if I were to start there? And spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And I'm wrestling with things, but I start there and I end there. I end with the God who provides. What if I start with today the wonderful counselor who's actually going to help me work through some issues, some deep-seated stuff? And I start worrying about it. But I start with the wonderful counselor and I end with who? I end with the wonderful counselor. So I want you to do something this morning. I want everyone to lift your hand. Come on, everybody. You still there? Okay, you still there? Okay, very good. Okay, ready? I want you to repeat after me. I hereby resign from being ruler of the universe. Didn't that feel good? Okay, but some of you didn't believe that, so let's try it again. Ready? Ready? I hereby resign from being ruler of the universe. And that's good stuff, isn't it? That's good stuff. Today, you're resigning from being ruler of the universe. And you're going to start with a new paradigm, a new place, a new foundation. The kingdom of God. Not your kingdom, but King Jesus, who is your wonderful counselor. So I want you to write down something for me as we get ready for communion. If you don't have a piece of paper or pen, I want you to kind of write it down in your brain. What is the worry that you walked in here with? Or what is the worry that's been kind of driving you crazy lately? Maybe the last 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, maybe the last week, maybe the last month. Maybe it's been gnawing at you for a year. I'd like you to place that and cast that to that wonderful counselor, Jesus, Yeshua, who really does want to take it, but you got to humble yourself. And I got to humble myself. And I got to put me away for a minute and say, King Jesus, come and be my wonderful counselor so I can let these worries and anxieties go. And while we take communion, I want you to let it go. And while you're taking communion, I want you to do something you've probably never done before here. I want you to thank God that he's starting the process. That some of you are going to walk out of here freer than when you walked in. Now, I'm not promising you're going to walk out just, oh, I'm just careless, carefree. I'm not promising that, but I am saying this. If you will take the step this morning by putting wonderful counselor first, you are on the road to some healing.
Thank you for listening to audio from Sandhills Community Church. Feel free to share this with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information, please visit our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.